Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Part human, part goat, and always playing a flute, his name was Pan. He was the god of shepherds and goatherds, and a favorite of the Greeks because of his unbridled sexual debauchery. But you had to be careful with him, because he was always playing tricks, you know, like trick or treat. And you thought we Americans actually invented something new. Apparently, Pan is still a hit, since Halloween decorations now go on sale August the 1st in anticipation of trick-or-treating, and who can count the ways that sexual immorality impacts our lives? Indeed, our unwitting worship of Pan has surpassed even the Greeks with their little cave hewn into the mountainside at Caesarea Philippi, where Jesus and the disciples stood. Before Pan, children were sacrificed at that place in an effort to appease the Canaanite god Baal. And in Jesus' day, it was named in part after the Caesars, who also fancy themselves divine. And so the location was a fitting place to have a discussion about God, because my goodness, Canaanites, Greeks, Romans, Jews, even Americans all have opinions about God. Just ask like Jesus did, and you'll hear it. Baal, Pan, Caesar, John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, a prophet, Republicans, Democrats, 401k, or truth be told, the person staring back in the mirror, all said by somebody to simply be divine. But God is not an opinion, nor is he whoever a person wants him to be. And it is that reality that we finally hear in this passage. But who do you say that I am? Jesus asked. And like Horshack on the show Welcome Back, Kotter, it was Peter who raised his hand and blurted out the answer. You're the Messiah, the Son of the living God, he said. But Peter's confession, though absolutely correct, isn't what matters most here. Peter did not become the first pope here with his confession. I'm sorry, my Roman Catholic brethren, that's not quite right. Though knowing and confessing God's identity is vitally important, we must remember that even the devil knows who God is and he trembles. No, it is when God acts that he's truly heard and truly known. Now listen how this works. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, Jesus said. Blessed, why? For getting the right answer? For guessing correctly? For having great spiritual insight that was far superior to the rest of the Jews and his fellow disciples? Is that why Simon Peter was blessed? No. Peter was blessed because God the Father acted on him for reasons known only to God. My goodness, could there be a more unworthy candidate than Peter? I mean, the guy was still wet from trying to walk on the water. No, out of all the contingencies that were Peter's life, out of all the serendipity and idiocy that was his existence, God the Father put him in front of God the Son and made Peter confess the truth. Said theologically, God elected, that is, God chose Peter for salvation, not the other way around. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven is what Jesus told him. That's God right there. The true God does what he wants, when he wants, to whom he wants, and nothing can stop him. So, when the Messiah, the Son of the living God, is looking for a person, then nothing can stop him from finding that person. When Jesus Christ builds his church, nothing can prevail against him, not even death and hell. And when in his church, Jesus gives the very keys to the kingdom for preachers to use there, then sin is forgiven, eternal life is bestowed, and nothing can stop it. And so we come to you. Yes, you. Because God doesn't allow spectators hiding behind opinions. Nobody gets to sit on the sidelines and watch And this is what this all means for you. In spite of all the twists and turns that are your life, in spite of who you are and what you've done and left undone, God alone decided to be your God, and nothing can stop him. God put you in the hands of a preacher at a font filled with water with a promise that your sin is forgiven. You belong to him now, and he will be with you always, and nothing can stop God from keeping his promise. At the altar, God puts in front of you, in your hands and in your mouth, his body and blood that is given and shed for the forgiveness of your sin, and nothing can stop him. There in your seat, the keys to the kingdom are rattling now, and nothing can stop them as God puts in your ear the promise that I am all too happy to give you. You are forgiven unconditionally by the Father for Christ's sake. Now, who do you say that Jesus is? Answer, he's God Almighty. He's for you, and nothing can stop him. Amen.